Okay, models with interactions. As in ANOVA, an interaction term in multiple regression is a non-additive combination. There's two kinds of combinations, additive and multiplicative. Main effects are additive, interactions are multiplicative. In SPSS, you have to compute the interaction term yourself. A three-group variable coded as on the right. And who's my comparison group? How do you know? Marital dummy code 1 is a pairwise comparison of which groups? Divorced and single. Marital dummy code 2 is a pairwise comparison of which groups? Single and married. Make sense? What we're going to need now, since we have two variables carrying the K group main effects around, we're going to need two variables to carry the interaction around. Each of the marital variables times the centered quantitative variable. So now we have what we said we were going to have. We're going to have the height and the slope of the control group line. Then we're going to have two sets of height and slope differences. One for treatment one, in this case divorced. The other for treatment two, in this case married. So we're now up to six weights. Two that tell us about the comparison group, two each that tell us about the two treatment groups. Testing the interaction, otherwise known as the regression homogeneity assumption. There are two nearly always equivalent ways of testing the significance in the interaction term. The one is the t-test of the interaction terms. The other is the nested model comparison. When we had a single group and we're carrying the interaction around with one term, these were guaranteed to be equivalent. But now that we have two terms carrying the interaction around, they may not be equivalent. It is possible for one of the interaction terms to have a significant regression weight, but the R-squared change to be non-significant. Retaining the null means that the interaction does not contribute to the model after controlling for the main effects. That also can be called regression homogeneity. If there's an argument between these two, convention is that the R-squared test is more powerful. And if you get an effect, even though not both of the interaction terms are significant, you still have an interaction. For example, is there an interaction there? Do all three of the groups have the same slope? No. But the interaction weight, asking about the slope difference of these two, is going to be a null. And we'll see examples. If the interaction contributes, we need to know how to interpret the regression weight for the interaction. This is the same thing as last time. The only difference is, pay attention, remember that an interaction regression model is about how the slope between the criterion and the predictor is different for different values of the other predictor. So an interaction regression weight tells the direction and extent of change in the slope of the y-x regression line for each one unit change in that z, holding all the other variables in the model constant. The interaction, again, is about slope differences, not correlation differences. Like interactions in ANOVA, interactions in multiple regression tell how the relationship between the criterion and the one variable changes for different values of the other variable. Just as with ANOVA, you can pick either variable as the simple effect and see how the simple effect of that variable is different. Here we go. The difference is that in this model, one variable is quantitative and the other is a K-groups variable. So we can describe the interaction in two different ways, both the same interaction regression weight. How does the XY regression slope differ for the two groups? Or how does the XY regression line height differ across the groups for different values of X? Do I want to look at how X is related to Y differently for the groups? Or do I want to look at how the group means differ depending upon the value of X? You can look at either set of simple effects depending upon which one you care about. So here we've got a model. or we've got constant feedback, intermittent feedback, and no feedback. So we've got a pretty hefty model here. We've got practice, which is a centered quantitative variable and its regression weight. We've got feedback 1, which is telling the difference between the constant and the intermittent. This is telling the difference, This is telling the difference between constant and no feedback. This is telling us the difference between intermittent and no feedback. And these are carrying the interaction. So this regression weight right here can mean two different things. The expected direction and extent of change in the XY regression slope for each 1 unit increase in that Z. That Z captures 0 for none, 1 for constant. That is the 1 step difference, the 1 unit increase, shifting from one group to the other. The slope of the performance practice regression line for those with constant feedback has a slope 4 more than the slope of the regression line for those without feedback. Notice intermittent feedback isn't mentioned at all, because that regression weight is just the slope difference between these two groups. We can also talk about that same regression weight as the expected direction and extent of change in the mean difference between the constant and the no feedback conditions for 1 unit increase in X, holding everything else constant. So we could say the mean performance difference between the feedback and no feedback groups will increase by 4 with each additional practice. These mean the same thing. They define the same lines. They capture the same data. Here we're talking about how the XY relationship is different for the two groups. Here we're talking about how the group difference changes as X changes. Same idea, same weight. How do you pick which variable you care about? If this study is all about how practice relates to performance, and by the way, how that may differ for different groups, we're going to do this. If this study is all about feedback group differences, and by the way, that may change with the amount of practice, we're going to focus here. We can now do the other regression weight. Because this other regression weight is telling about the difference between no feedback and intermittent. That, too, means that the slope of the performance practice regression line for those with intermittent feedback has a slope 2 less than the slope of the regression line for those with feedback. If we want to know how practice relates to performance and how it's different for these two groups, that's our interpretation. If, however, we want to know what's the mean difference between these two groups and how that mean difference changes with the amount of practice, we're going to go here. We're going to talk about how the mean performance difference between the feedback and the no feedback groups will decrease by 2 with each additional practice. This tells us that the difference between the kind of feedback goes away with additional practice. Does that make sense? The difference between the groups goes down by 2 with each additional practice. Eventually, it's going to go to none. It might even mean that if you practice enough, they cross over, and which one is best flips, because that's an interaction. It depends. We have to actually graph the data to see if we have something like this or we have something like this. Starts out with a difference, but with each 1 unit increase, that difference gets smaller. It might get smaller to the point that it actually reverses. Okay? Because that's one of the coolest interaction patterns we have.
And we know that those lines are linear, so we could extrapolate those?
With the same certainty that we would extrapolate anything else, so we'd be cautious, but yeah. We could also put nonlinear terms in there. We can put in nonlinear terms, and we can put in nonlinear interaction terms. Okay? So if we treat this as lines, we get that, and there's no interaction. If we put in that quadratic term and include the quadratic interaction term, we can see that the relationship between practice and performance is very different for the two groups. So linear or nonlinear terms are like interaction terms. You create the model by leaving them out. You test the model by putting them in. Okay? We did that one. All right, interpreting the interaction regression weight. Remember, these talk about more or less positive slopes. More or less positive slopes. This says that feedback has a more positive slope than no feedback. This says that intermittent has a less positive slope than no feedback. This also fits those data. Feedback is more positive than no feedback, even though they're both negative. This is more positively sloped than that. Does that make sense? A little bit of negative is more positive than a lot of negative. And the intermittent feedback is less positively sloped than the no feedback. See, these regression weights by themselves only tell you the relative slopes of the lines. It doesn't tell you what the slopes are. It doesn't tell you where the lines cross over. You need all of those regression weights to actually plot the picture. And so this, and on the next page, is simply the listing of exactly what each weight means and the meaning and language for each. These tell us the height and slope of the comparison group line. These tell us how the constant feedback line differs in slope and height. These from the comparison group. These tell us how the intermittent group line changes from the comparison group in height and slope. And notice the whole way through here that we're talking about simple effects. Simple effects. Simple effects. This is the simple effect of the relationship between x and y when everything else is held zero. The only way everything else can be zero is if they're in the comparison group. If they're in the comparison group, that's a zero, and their cross product with x, also zero. Everything is simple effects as soon as you get an interaction term in that model. And there's the regression weights. I ran out of space. I decided to take two slides instead of mush it all together. It's a no win. To plot the model, we need a separate regression formula for each Z group. So we start with our model and our coding system. Then what we're going to do is we're going to gather together everything with an X in it and leave out everything that doesn't have an X in it. And then we're going to factor out X. And so we end up with two parts to our equation. We have that regular y equals bx plus a. The slope of any line depends upon what group you're in and how that group differs from the comparison group. And the height of any line depends upon what group you're in and the height difference between that line and the comparison group. And so we end up with a different regression formula for each group depending upon what group they're in and their weights from the dummy codes. Now, if you like algebra and algebra comforts you, this is how some people figure out how all this works. Other people figure out how all this works playing the game we're going to play in a minute, which is each of these weights positive, negative, or zero based on this picture? And that's why we have the computator. The computator calculates these for you automatically and gives you back four numbers that are 2 points to plot each line. You get an x and a y value for two coordinates. You plot each line, you look at it, and you go, oh, okay. Because getting from this formula to these three lines is not the point. Being able to interpret this formula and being able to interpret the graph is. So you got to know what these things are tied to, and you have to know that these are simple effects because there's interactions. And so we end up with the height and slope of the comparison group. The height difference and slope difference of the one treatment group from the comparison group. Height difference, slope difference. And the height and slope difference of the other target group from the comparison group. Height difference, slope difference. Just like we said, for every group in the model, there's two weights telling what its height is and what its slope is.
Can you do the pointing again?
Yeah, sure. B1 and A tell us where the line for the comparison group is. B2 and B4 tell us how the one target group's height and slope differ from the comparison group. B3 and B5 tell us how the other target group differs from the comparison group, giving the height difference and the slope difference of the two lines. Here's one of those sort of nastier ones. We also see why getting that x variable in there is important. Notice that we have nothing like initial equivalence or anything here. I mean, those lines are blown all over the place. There's a lot to this whole story. And we wouldn't want to say that these three groups all have the same slope and just talk about what are the mean differences between the groups. Because as you can see, the pattern of mean differences across the groups varies dramatically with x. For low values of x, treatment 1 and control are equivalent and both lower than treatment 2. For high values of x, treatment 2 and the control are equivalent and both much higher than treatment 1. These regression weights here that tell us the mean difference between treatment 2 and control, treatment 1 and control, those are simple effects. They're only telling us what's going on if you happen to have an average x value. You with me? These regression weights say, well, if you're in the control 2 group, treatment does better than control, treatment 2 does poorer than control. That's not the whole story, because those aren't main effects, they're simple effects. You with me? You got to tell the whole story, and the whole story can't be seen here. The whole story is only revealed when we get all of that data plotted into a graph. Now we can say, so what's the treatment group effect? How much x are you talking about? Because it depends. Who does better, treatment 2 or the control? What's the answer? It depends. Low values of x, treatment 2 does better. High values of x are the same. Who does better, treatment 2 or treatment 1? Treatment 2. Even though there's an interaction, main effects can still be descriptive because the simple effect for any value of x is that's higher than that, that's higher than that, that's higher than that, that's still higher than that. You with me? You need the whole picture. Just like you would never interpret the results of a factorial design from looking just at the marginal means. Why? Because the interaction is the whole deal. You cannot interpret a treatment effect from that number, because that's not a main effect, it's a simple effect. It's one of an infinite number of treatment effects, depending upon the value of x. And you can't talk about the relationship between x and y based on that, because that's just the relationship between x and y for the treatment group. And that's why we have the computator, and that's why you have to get used to drawing the pictures. Because the picture is where the story comes from. The regression weights just get you there. Now, with enough practice, you could learn what these slopes are going to look like given a particular combination of that weight, and that weight. You could draw those two. Why bother? Okay, if you do this model a lot, you'll be amazed at how quickly you can look at this and know what this is going to be even before you run it through the math. There are only so many patterns, but the only so many is about 200 and something. Okay, so instead of making you memorize 200 and some patterns, I'm making you memorize. Those tell me about the comparison group. Those tell me about one treatment group. Those tell me about the other treatment group. And saying 750,000 times, when you have an interaction term in the model, everything else is a simple effect, not a main effect. Interpret carefully. All right, is there an interaction in these data? Are all of the lines parallel with each other? No. So, is there an interaction somewhere? Does that interaction capture the difference between treatment one and control? Is there a slope difference between treatment... Let me try this one more time. Is there a slope difference between treatment two and control? So in other words, that's zero. Right? The slope difference between the control and treatment two isn't. So that's a zero. Because that's a zero, that is suddenly a main effect pairwise comparison. So it doesn't matter where we compare these two lines because the lines are parallel. Does that make sense? Anywhere we look along there, the height difference is going to be the same because they're parallel. So when this is zero, that is a main effect pairwise comparison. Is there an interaction when we look at the pairwise comparison treatment one and control? So is this going to be zero or non-zero? Non-zero. And if this is non-zero, is this a simple effect or a main effect? How are we doing? So can we say, based on this, that the control always does better than treatment one? No, because there's an interaction. This value is going to change. It may be like that. Right? It may be that this group always does better than that one. Or it could be like that. Does the top line do better than the bottom line? It depends. On what? The value of x.